Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sharei. We are learning Lilui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas Miriam Fron. Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, and HaShalom should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah. So we are on Amen. She should be an advocate for good news and Mesiras Tovos and Simchas for her whole family. We're on page 141 of the second Sefer, please. 141, towards the end. Okay, look from the back. So the last thing that we did, we really did a fascinating, if you weren't here, the Shir is on YU Torah. I really recommend that you should go listen to the Shir from last week if you were not here. It's called When There's a Will, There's a Way, But How Strong Is Our Will? We went through an unbelievable piece, the Medrash Tanchuma, about Avram Avinu's journey to the Akedah and how difficult it was to bypass all the tricks or the pitfalls, if you will, that the Satan set up for him. Welcome. So really, if you were not here last week, please go listen. It's online. So we're on page 141. There are many people, we will begin at that paragraph. There are many people who begin to get involved in all kinds of endeavors. I'm just recapping. We last week did this paragraph with the Medrash Tanchuma. Let's just read it over again. We're not going through the Medrash. They may maintain interest for 2 weeks or a month or 2 months, but they eventually quit. They started a task. They saw, could you hear me? Fine. They thought it was Baruch Hashem. They saw it was not as easy as they had thought when they quit. And we spoke last time about the need for perseverance and the necessity to stick with our resolutions. Why did they quit? Their ratzon was not strong enough. They wanted to make money. They thought it would be easy. But when it became clear it requires more effort than presumed, they gave up. Their level of ratzon did not have the power to impel them to progress in the face of such difficulties. And it's very interesting. When you look at Avraham Avinu, who had the midah of perseverance, he had the midah and this ability to persevere. Interestingly, his father, Terach, at the end of Perek Yeraf, at the end of Parshas Noach, is the one who begins the journey to the Holy Land. Terach picks up his family, and he actually begins the journey to the Holy Land. Terach gets stuck in Haran. Terach lacks the ability to follow through with his resolutions. Avraham Avinu continues that journey for him. So there is something in Terach. There is some sort of Kedusha in Terach. In fact, Avraham is told he will lay with his forefathers. After he dies, v'shachafta imavosav, he will lay with his forefather. So Rashi says, his father was a Rasha. Hashem is telling him, don't worry, after you die, after 120 years, you're going to lay with Terach. What kind of consolation is that? The one who's an Oved of Avodah Zarah, who had him thrown into the fiery furnace. Rashi says, Terach did teshuvah. Terach is not a total Rasha, which goes back to sort of the conversation we had before we even started Shir. Is anybody actually born with pure rishis, or does everyone have some potential for good? But what was Terach's failing? He got stuck. By Yashav Becharan, he's on his way. He cannot complete the journey. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, picks up and he's able to go. Arza Kanan. In order to truly serve the Creator, you must really want to. After you find you really want to, you must contemplate properly. After contemplation, key, you must speak to yourself. And only after that can you speak to the Creator. And I think those words are very impactful. You must speak to yourself. Because I think that sometimes some people, myself, people, sometimes we spend time talking to other people or thinking about what other people are doing or looking at what other people are doing, and we don't spend enough time, perhaps, talking to ourselves, i.e. imbibing ourselves with the musr, with the chizuk, with the right amount of amunah. I cannot control anybody else. Somebody actually emailed me. I just had time to skim her email this evening. A very beautiful thought, Faye Stern, and she emailed me. She heard the JCC share, and she noted about Leah. Leah named her fourth child Yehuda. It's in this week's parasha. Okay? Ata pam odas Hashem, Rashi famously says, Natalti yoter michalki. All the imahos have ruach hakodesh, they are navios. She saw 4 wives, 12 sons. Everybody gets 3. I just got 4. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Now I will say thank you, Hashem. And in fact, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, from the time that Leah came, from the time of the world's creation till Leah, nobody thanked Hashem like Leah. That's what the Gemara Pashut says. We're not going to go through the whole thing right now, but Faye Stern emailed me a very beautiful thought. At this point, she realizes she will never be that Keres Habayis. Rachel is going to be that Keres Habayis. She will never be the most loved one. Rachel is the most loved one. She will never be the first choice. Rachel was the first choice. Nevertheless, Nevertheless, Ata Pam Odes Hashem faced her and said, perhaps we learn from here that we can only be in charge or in control of our own happiness. We can't depend on other people to bring us happiness. Sometimes we wait for someone to do something for us, to say something to us, to help us in a certain way. We think that our Avodas Hashem and our midos may depend on or rely upon someone else. I thought it was a beautiful insight. Rachel is teaching us here, whatever Yaakov's feelings for me are, they are. I cannot control those feelings. The only thing I control is myself. My ability to have gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam, my ability to say thank you to Hashem, should not be dependent on my relationship with somebody else. Irrespective of that, objectively to that, I have to be able to say thank you, Hashem. And sometimes, mankind spends too much time, that's a dangerous word in today's age of political correctness. I do not mean males, I mean people. Did you see that crazy video where the new Prime Minister of Canada, he was at some press conference, you know what I'm talking about? A couple months ago, and a woman raised her hand and asked something about humankind. You know this? This is a true story. Google it. Prime Minister Trudeau. And he interrupted her on national TV and he said, we don't say humankind, we say peoplekind. No, it's true. It's so ludicrous. You would think we live like a... Because a man, it's derogatory towards women. It's male chauvinist or whatever it's called. It's ridiculous. When I say man, I don't mean males. I mean us, people. Humankind, peoplekind. Sometimes we spend too much time talking about others, to others, inspiring others, teaching others. So, Lamaisa, what do I have to do? I have to talk to myself. Avshim Shem Pinkas has such a beautiful piece on this. Please daven for me. I'm going to LA tomorrow, Be'ezra Hashem, to speak at a girls' high school, Shabbaton. Please daven for me. Please. Okay, Avshim Shem Pinkas says... Rav Shem Shem Pinkas speaks on Ashrei Ha'ish, the opening words of Sefer Tehillim. Ashrei Ish Shelo Lach B'Tzas Rishayim V'Vader Chatim Lo Amar Moshe V'Leitzim Lo Ashav Kim B'Sras Hashem Chavso. But how does Davan HaMelech begin Tehillim? Ashrei Ha'ish. Fortunate is the man. A person must know, says Rav Pinkas, the central point for which he came to this world. Praised is the man. What does it mean, Ashrei Ha'ish? He must build up his very own person. Says Rav Pinkas, ultimately, this is one of my favorite pieces of Rav Shem Shem Pinkas. Ultimately, the only thing really in our own hands is our very own selves. One person cannot make another person into a good Jew. One cannot make his friend keep Shabbos. If he could, then his friend's Shabbos observance would be considered his mitzvah. He can assist, he can encourage, he can teach, he can try and inspire, but ultimately, the other fellow will make his own decisions. Quote, the only Jew I have control over is me. I can only build myself. I can only make myself into a Talmid Chacham. And therefore, listen to this. Thank you so much. The most important goal, the primary and greatest obligation a Jew has in his life is to make himself into a praiseworthy person. That's Ashrei Ha'ish. You're not talking about some general man. David HaMelech is not talking about someone in people kind, in humankind, in mankind. You're talking about you, yourself. You are fortunate. Therefore, the primary and greatest obligation a Jew has in life is to make himself into a praiseworthy person. If he becomes a praiseworthy person, this is an incomparable Kiddush Hashem. There's no greater sanctification of heaven's name than when he builds himself. And he brings an unbelievable example. When we think of the Chafetz Chaim, we can't even count the people that the Chafetz Chaim has changed, has influenced, has shaped, whether it's Sefer Chafetz Chaim and Shmira Salash, and every time someone holds back one thing because of one thing that they learned, it's in his chus. Whether it's the Mishnah Brura, which has changed the way that we live our lives according to Halacha. I teach a shiur every other Monday morning on Sefer Kuntros Chovis HaShmira, which is a smaller Sefer of his. Sefer Nidche Yisrael was for the Jews in outlying countries. The work that he did, the travels that he did. You know what he says about the Chafetz Chaim? Let's look at the tremendous things the Chafetz Chaim did to save the Jewish people. He wrote the Mishnah Brura. Practical Halacha should be accessible to all. He educated, he exhorted regarding Lashon Hara. But the greatest thing the Chafetz Chaim did was none of that. The greatest thing was that he built the Chafetz Chaim. Simply erecting the edifice of that kind of Jew in this world is the greatest Kiddush Hashem that could possibly be. So when I read in this Sefer, after contemplation, you have to speak to yourself. And especially perhaps it speaks to me so strongly because I spend the entire week speaking to people. But ultimately, the greatest thing the Chafetz Chaim did, the millions that he influenced is not countable. The millions he influenced is not countable. And yet, that's not the greatest thing he did. The greatest thing he did is making a Chafetz Chaim in this world. This is what David HaMelech means when he begins Sefer Torah. This is from Shimshon Pinkas, Attainment of Torah, Torah V'Kinyana. If you want to make a Kiddush Hashem in this world, the way to do it is Ashrei Ha'ish. Make yourself into a praiseworthy person. Build yourself. Erect the edifice for a Hashem of a praiseworthy person. The only thing you have to work with is yourself. And that is the general message of all of Sefer Tehillim. That is the essence of all. To make yourself a praiseworthy man. You know, it's so interesting. I'm going through Tehillim with one of the boys. We're Baruch Hashem almost at the end. We just finished all the Shir HaMalos. So he reads the Psukim, I translate them, and then we say the Kapitel together. So tonight, the kids, Baruch Hashem, they're normal children, we're having a little machlokas. Who put which sitter where when I drove them to Ma'arav? I said, you know, so it's better maybe you should daven b'yichidus and not have machlokas. They're not bar mitzvah yet. Okay? I said, then going to Shul and fighting over whose sitter goes on whose chair when you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Baruch Hashem, they're normal children. So me and the other one sit down to do Tehillim, and I call over the other one. I said, would you believe, look what kapitel we're up to. What pasuk do we read? Hine matovu manayim shaves achim kam yachad. I said, come over here to the one who's not doing it with us. Chanuch l'rapi darko. I'm doing it with one of them, not the other. I said, you come here. I said, both of you listen to this kapitel. What's David HaMelech saying? We each have to build our own selves. I have to look at the words and internalize them. And then, and I love this next line. For me especially, it speaks to me very strongly. I travel around the world a lot to sanctify the name of heaven. I participate in outreach seminars, lectures. It sometimes happens. I'm waiting for a plane. And at such moments, I feel I'm wasting time. I could be in New York. I could be furthering Torah observance. I could be in Eretz Yisrael. I could be in Paris. And here I am, sitting in the airport, perusing a sefer. The truth is, those 5 minutes that any of us have when we're in solitude, not when you're teaching your family, not when you're being mashpia on your archim, not when you're talking to your neighbor, not when you listen to the rabbi's drasha, just you, yourself, with Hashem, those 5 minutes in which a person can sit down and dedicate to building himself, whether it's through learning Gemara, or Musar, or Davening, or Tehillim, that is the greatest and the best Kiddush Hashem. Greater than all he traveled all over the world of Shimshon Pinkas. All of Sefer Tehillim, up to the last line of Kol HaNeshama Tahalaka, begins with Ashrei Ha'ish. Really, if you look at the bookends of Tehillim, Ashrei Ha'ish, Kol HaNeshama Tahalaka, if you make yourself a praiseworthy man, then every breath you take, Kol HaNeshama, HaNeshima, Sechazah, don't read it, Neshama, let all souls praise God, let every breath praise God. If you build yourself into that man, that person, that woman, then call Hanashima to Halalka. A person's own Torah learning, his own Gemara he's involved with. That's the focus of the first chapter of Tehillim. But he does say, he doesn't just say Gemara and Torah learning, davening, Tehillim, the time that you sit. What's the greatest thing the Chafetz Chaim did? May the Chafetz Chaim. Yes? Wait, 1 second. It's even harder for me to hear if you could imagine. The kids in the car back from wherever they're talking, they're like, is it harder for you to hear? I said, yes.
So it's interesting in Pirkei Avos, it talks about three kesarim. There's kesar kuhuna, kesar melucha, and kesar shem tov.
All al gabeihen, very nice.
It's interesting that David HaMelech.
Kesar malchus.
Kesar malchus, thank you.
But kesar.
David had kesar malchus, and he's talking about what is your.
Beautiful. Kesar Shem Tov Alei Al Gabeihem. Beautiful. Very, very nice. Because, very nice. The Malchus inspires and leads other people. And Kesar Kahuna inspires through your Avodah other people. But Kesar Shem Tov is the person building himself. Beautiful. Very, very nice. Anything else? Very nice. So therefore, in order to truly serve the Creator, you must really want to. Who has to want to? You have to want to for who? For you, yourself. After, but also, you know, the interesting nakuda is that if a person makes himself, if he manages to make himself into an incomparable Kiddush Hashem, then the natural consequence is that what will happen? begins to influence? Others. Not directly. Exactly. Exactly right. He begins inadvertently to start to influence the people around him. Why? Because you want to be like that person. Because if you're with the Chavetz Chaim, you're going to act differently. Now, if you're, you know, the guy in the tavern back in the day, if the Chavetz Chaim comes to town and you get an audience with him, you're going to act more like the Chavetz Chaim. So the person who builds himself, not intentionally perhaps, begins to influence those around him. So you have to really want to serve the Creator. You have to want it. Someone sent me a beautiful WhatsApp tonight. And she said that then she started coming to Shiurim and learning Torah. She says, it's mechazik her, it gives her koach, it gives her clarity, it gives her so much happiness. You have to want to. And then it changes yourself. And then naturally, you start to change people around you. After you find you really want to, you have to contemplate properly. After contemplation, speak to yourself. We just spoke about that. And only after that can you speak to the Creator. I think, though, it goes hand in hand. While you're speaking to yourself, I think you have to be speaking to the Creator at the same time. I don't think it's like so cut and dry. I don't know, maybe you disagree. I don't think it's that contemplation, speak to yourself, speak to Hashem. I think the speaking to Hashem comes into play throughout the process. What do you think? He puts it here like contemplation, speak to yourself, then you could speak to Hashem. But I don't know if that's, from our experiences, the way we live. I think that we contemplate while we speak to Hashem, and we speak to ourselves while we speak to Hashem, and then we speak to Hashem. I'm sort of asking you.
I'm not sure which order it's in. But,
you're not sure?
I'm not sure which, what order it's in, but for women it's easier, I think, to have his bones, because I daven alone. I don't daven with a minion.
So it's easier to walk.
I have my wall to talk to Hashem, to connect. I'm always connecting. I think women who are...
So I'll tell you a cute story because you said women are always connecting. My daughter last night went to take a banana, and I have been eating these bananas a few mornings with yogurt, and the bottom half of some of the bananas are bruised. My daughter sees a bruise on any part of the banana, that's it for the banana. So she looks at a few bananas, she takes one banana. I promise you, it was just me and my daughter in the kitchen. I sat in my head, Hashem, please let the banana be okay. And 3/4 through the banana, she says, you know, this is a perfect banana. I started laughing. It was just me and her. I wasn't on my computer. I wasn't working. Just the day, I said, you know, I daven that that banana should be okay. She says, you daven that my banana should be okay? I said, yes, I did. When you took the banana, I said, Hashem, please let that banana be okay. So I think what you're saying is absolutely correct. That's a form of tefillah. It's also a form of chinuch, and then it becomes a lesson. But that's why I'm saying, for me, at least for me in my life, I don't contemplate. It's not divided into these like neat stages and boxes. It's a Venn diagram. There's total overlap. You contemplate, okay, she's taking a banana and I want her to be able to eat it. And then you speak to yourself, what should I do now? Because I can't really control how the banana is going to be. And this is a true story. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't have told you. And then you talk to Hashem. I think it's all simultaneous for us in our lives. I don't think... It's after contemplation, then you talk to yourself, which is our primary objective, and then you speak to the Creator. Even though we take the... I'm just putting that out there. I'm not sure that it's so cut and dry.
Right.
So I think.
I'm with Malki. I think that this is probably geared more towards a man.
A male.
Oh, that's what you said like 2 years ago. Okay, but meantime, we've learned... Going back to humankind. Oh, we should say people kind. Oy vey, this world we live in. Here we must again emphasize, Nebuch, Hashem Yerachim Aleinu. Here we must again emphasize, ladies, we're at the bottom of page 141 where there's a parenthesis. Here we must again emphasize, you must first gain a general picture of the material presented in this book, and then you could apply your knowledge. Only with the Creator do we find Shamar and Zachar in the same statement. Shamar, when he gave the Seres Hadibros, is able to say guard and remember at the same time. But man can't do multiple tasks at the same time. But we are saying that maybe we can a little bit. I don't know. We humans, on the other hand, I didn't even realize that was coming. We humans, even though I knew I prepared this 3 times, we humans, on the other hand, need to pause between one section and next. By the way, sometimes Rashi tells us that vis-a-vis Moshe Rabbeinu, when there's a pause between the words or between the psukim, even though in a Sefer Torah there's no like punctuation, Rashi will say it gives Moshe time for contemplation. Okay? So there is, of course you need to, I'm not saying throw away the avoda of contemplation, I just think that it goes hand in hand with the other things we do in our relationship with ourselves and our relationship with Hashem. We humans, on the other hand, need to pause between one section and the next. It's simply impossible to say everything all at once. The big picture will become clear at the end, after we explain everything with Hashem's help. But at first, you must know clearly what the first phase, what the second phase, the third, the fourth. If it's not clear, there will be confusion. Obviously, we need to have Seder in our lives and everything that we do. In a conclusion, there must first be real Ratzon. Once there is real Ratzon, there must be a process of thought. So again, he's going back to the stages. Ratzon, do you want it? We spoke about Avraham Avinu last week. Either in the Medrash. Then you have to think about it. Contemplate for a long time, there's a creator. After that, you know he's nearby. After that, there's divine providence, Hashkacha Pradis, and so on. You know, it's like Yaakov Avinu in this week's Parsha. He lays down on the ground, V'hine Sula Mutzav Arza V'rosha Magiha Shemaima. You could say that that's the stages. A human being begins as an edifice of flesh. What are we? What are we? But Basar V'dam. Our end is Rima Visoleya. You just brought up Pirkei Avos. Our end is worms and maggots. What are we? I just read such a beautiful thing of Rav Shimshon Pinchas just this morning and last night. I'm still Rav Pinchas from last week. Not Rav Pinchas, Rav Elimelech Biderman. I'm sorry. Rav Elimelech Biderman writes such a beautiful mashal. There's a man, a wealthy man in town, and he lives in a very icy part of the world, and he wants to build a home. So he goes over, the lake freezes in the winter, like if you go up to Alaska, they make transatlantic highway, which will cross the frozen tundra. But really, when it defrosts, what happens? It's all water. So he says he wants to build a mansion here. So the builders tell him, you can't build it here. With the spring thaw, it's going to go underwater. No, I want to build it here. So he hires a different... Everyone tells him he can't do it. He has the most money. So the workers finally say, he's putting up a fight. He's not listening. They're going to get the money. They're going to do the job. So they build it on the transatlantic highway on the frozen tundra. Okay, that's not exactly what Biderman says, but they build it over the frozen lake. Spring comes... The ice starts to crack, and what happens to the whole structure, the whole beautiful mansion that he built? Down, 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 down. So what's the Nimshal? He says, man spends his whole life building up things, focusing on things, amassing things on a structure that's ultimately going to melt. I.e., and then the days, what could we take with us? Nothing. Except the Torah and the Maisim Tov. I didn't hear what you said. Yeah, except for that, everything we spend all our time building, this world for a man in his life is like building on ice. The only thing that is permanent is the things, the mitzvos, the ma'asim tovim, the Torah, the edifice of Ashrei Ha'ish, Kalan Neshima, Tahalaka, that we could take with us. Because when the spring thaw comes at Me'ev Esrim Shana, I said to my boys, I said, you know, in the middle of this machlokas, it wasn't really like nobody's punching each other. They're not screaming. They're just talking about one of them is so cute. He says, and I hope you'll agree with me that he doesn't have consideration for anybody else. I hope you'll agree with me. I said, you know what? Me'ev Esrim Shana, they're going to play this back to you. I said, you know how silly this is after 120 years? I said, listen, what we're... Then he sat down and opened up. Tini Me'etovu Manayim. But what's the message? So we're all building all these things. We're amassing property. We're worrying about the Gashmis. What's going to happen in the spring thaw? We're going to lose it all anyway. What are we amassing? You have to have the Ratzon to be a true Avad Hashem. It's such a beautiful, beautiful, I thought, very powerful Mashal Nimshal that Rav Biderman brings down. After thinking, discuss these things with yourself, after you could advance the last phase. Oh, how did I get there? Sulam Mutzav Arza V'Rosha Magia Shemayim. We begin Gashmius. Or Mutzav Arza. You're standing on the base ground. You're an Eretz. You're an Adama. But the key goal is to be ascending to heavenwards, always rising higher and higher on the rungs of the ladder. Malachei Elokim olim v'yardim ba. To know that there are angels accompanying you on your way. V'hine Hashem nitzav alav. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is standing right over to protect you. We have to make sure we're rising to the top of the ladder even while we're on this ground. Because everything that we amass in terms of Gashmias is not going to be here. Anyway, Me'ev Esrim Shana. Do not jump right away to the phase of speaking to Hashem. Even if you have already spent half a year working on a particular concept, you must still spend the first few minutes of each session going through the process of thought. Okay? There are rare exceptions. There are times when a person is in pain. His whole being screams out. He pours his heart out before Hashem. This is not unhealthy, but you must know what the normal process should be, what the exception to the rule is. So when I read this, his whole being screams out and he pours his heart out before Hashem. It brings me to Parak Beis, the end of Parak Beis in the book of Shmos, and the Bnei Yisrael scream out in pain before Hashem. His whole being screams out in pain. He pours out his heart before Hashem. So the Mechaber is saying that's not the normal way. But that's an exception. There are times when a person is in a lot of pain and he screams out to Hashem. So it takes me right to the end of, for me, Perek Beis of Shemos. Does anyone remember these psukim? They're very famous. What does Rashi say?
Vayamas
Melech Mitzrayim.
A new king. It could be two different explanations. Either it's a new king.
Start again.
Either it's a new king.
Oh, that's in the beginning of Paragraph. Vayakam Melechadash Shelo Yadas Yosef. I think Rav and Shmuel have a disagreement. He's new king or he made new Xeros. This is different. Rashi says he had Saras. Was a cure, not a vino. He had tzaras. He would shech Jewish babies. Now, if we didn't have a Holocaust in our recent history, we would think such a thing is not possible. But it's very possible. So what happens? It does not say they're davening. Listen, I'm going to quote some unbelievable mefarshim here. Why am I bringing this to you? I just want you to know where we are. There are times when a person is in pain and then his whole being screams out to Hashem. There's no contemplation. There's no thought process. There's no stages. There's no rungs on a ladder. You're in the worst pace of pain and you're screaming out. It does not say they daven. It says they groan from what? The work. It doesn't say they're having a halak experience with a ladder. And they're cognizant that God is there. No, it's too much work. They're in too much pain. The babies are being shakted to use as a therapeutic remedy. They call out. Their cries ascend to God. It doesn't say it's on halakh prayer. It just says from the work. But nevertheless, what's the response of Ribbono Shel Olam? The Salvation says these psukim are the transition from Hester Panim to Gilui Shechina. Vayishma Elokim es na'akasam. Hashem hears the groans. Vayizkar Elokim es briso. He remembers the covenant with the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Elokim saw the Bnei Yisrael. Elokim knew. Vayar ve'eda. Very next words, Moshe. Hayaro etzon Yisrael chosno. That's why Salvation explains. This is Shemos 2, 23 through 25. So Shmos 1, the entire parak, through parak Beis, when Moshe is born, floating down the Nile River, he has to run away. The Mitzri runs to Tzipora. Through 2:22 is a time of Hester Panim. As if he doesn't see. Parak Gimel and 4 is a time of Gilui Shechina. Hashem appears at the burning bush. Moshe Hayaro, so Nitzro Chosno. What brings the transition? What bridges Hester Panim and changes it to Gilui Shechina? The groans of the Bnei Yisrael. But they're not even crying in prayer. They're crying from the work. How powerful is the cry of a person in pain? Min ha'avoda, says the beautiful Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Perush, listen to this. Lo she'tza'aku l'kel she'yoshi'eim. What does that mean? Lo tza'aku l'kel she'yoshi'eim.
They didn't scream.
Lakel doesn't mean he's not really Kel. It's Lamed Aleph Lamed. I'm just not saying Hashem's name. Lo, yeah, Avigal, you're not. What is it? What did he just say? Lo shetzaku lakel sheyoshiim. They're not calling out to God for salvation. I Hashem bring Mashiach. I Hashem bring the Gula. I Hashem send some avino instead of my son. Alatzaku minatzar ka Adam hatzoeik mikeevo. What did we just read in the Sefer? What did he just say? They're not crying for the geula. They're pashut screaming because they're in pain. Like a man who calls out from pain. Umodia kasuv ki also tzaka also lifnei Hashem. The Torah comes and lets you know that cry, it's from pain. He says, pashut, the Arachayim Akash. They were not crying to God for salvation. They're not saying, we want Mashiach now. I'm Israel, have no fear. They're not saying that. They're crying from the tzar, from the Tsar.
Yeah, for the pain.
Ka Adam, what?
Suffering.
Ka Adam hatzoeik mikevo. Like a person who screams from pain. And the Torah comes to let you know that this cry went up before Hashem. And that's why it says, Sha'avasa min ha'avoda, Perush, mitzar ha'avoda. They're pasha crying because the work is too heavy. Nevertheless, Vayishma Hashem esna akasam. Perush haramas kol ke'evam. God lifted the cry of pain and changed it into prayer. But the prayer did not begin as a prayer. It wasn't even intended as a prayer. It wasn't even Hashem save me. It's I. It's too hard. It hurts. It's too painful. It was a non-directed prayer. And even that, from a place of pain, forget the contemplation, forget the ladder, forget the rungs, forget thinking about the edifice you're building in this world. A person sometimes partial, we cry out just because we're in pain. Whether, by the way, it's emotional pain, or whether, chalila v'chas, it's physical pain, you cry from pain. You're not even in a place where you could daven. You're just in pain. That's tefillah. The Ribbono Shel Olam elevates that. Peirush vayishma Hashem esna akasam haramas kol ke'evam. He lifts up their prayer. That's Or HaChaim. The Rabbeinu B'chaya has such a beautiful pshat as well. Rabbeinu B'chaya says, wait, everyone with me?
That's what Chana did. That was the first Chana.
Yeah, what about her?
She also cried out spontaneously from anger and pain. And
she also?
She did tefillah.
So that's why you
cried out spontaneously.
In other words, you know there's spontaneous
too many people
screaming.
This is like
we called it tefillah.
No, Chana was davening.
It was her own tefillah. She made it up.
But it was still directed. One second. It had a direction.
Well,
it had a direction. This is prayer without, I'm not talking about if it's in your own words. I'm not talking about if it's in your own words from pain, but you have a direction. Hashem, help me. This clearly the Ramban.
It has the same
she was jealous. No, what I'm saying is she was crying from tsar because his sister.
No. I'm not saying she wasn't crying from tsar.
The same origin. Yes. The Chanas had a direction of like, let me take this, the Mishkan, let me have a direction towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to.
Right, I'm not talking about if the impetus for prayer was pain or not pain. I'm even showing you that when a person is in pain and they're not even directing their prayer to God, the Ramban here, it's a lengthy piece of the Ramban speaks about the exact same thing. Hashem took those, I don't want to use the word empty, non-directed groans, and turned them, elevated them into prayer. When we call out from pain,
right, I see.
And it's such a high madriga.
What's a high madriga? Calling out from pain?
Just screaming out, Hashem, our Father, our compassionate King, who doesn't want his children to be in pain, has the koach to elevate even those groans and accept it as tefillah.
Right, I understand what you're saying. I still think she did this.
You didn't start off as davening. I'm not talking about the impetus. You're in pain. You didn't start off as davening, but the person is in so much pain, they just call out, somebody help me. We can't handle the work.
Right.
Who came and helped them?
Right. Right.
Hashem. Right. Rabbeinu B'chaya, listen to this. Their outcry went up to Elohim from the work. The time for redemption had already arrived. The time for redemption arrived, but they were not ready for redemption. They were not worthy. They're not worthy for redemption. Allah, so they're not worthy. Okay, so Hashem is in a quandary, so to speak. You know, it's scary because maybe what it says about us, which the Rabbeinu B'chaya is about to say. The time for redemption arrives, but the people are not worthy for redemption. So what do we do now? He says to God from the work, but it wasn't like, you know, they're not looking on their machzor and clapping al chayt. Their mom is crying from work. He accepted their prayers. V'hiz kir shnei pa'amim min ha'avoda. Two times in these psukim, it says they groaned from their work. Listen, please listen. Lelam decha she'ein tfilaso shal adam shalema ki oso shahu mitpalal mitochat sara v'hadochak. The Pasuk emphasizes, they cried from the slave labor to teach you. Lalamdecha. I'm going to repeat in Lashon Kodesh and then translate. She'ein tfilaso shal adam shleima ke'oso shahu mitpalal mitochat sara v'hadochak. To teach you that there is no purer or more complete prayer of a person like the one that is prayed when he finds himself in sara. What word did we say? Agony, difficulty, suffering, and dochak and pressure. Shehi yoter mikubalas vihi ola lefana vispach. It is more accepted and it goes straight up to Hashem because it's the purest prayer, because you know nobody could help you when you're in pain except Hashem. And he brings a pasuk from Yonah that proves this. And he says that the Navi, Yonah, okay, it's from Yonah pasuk base, because he's Sateif alai nafshi es Hashem zacharti. And, I don't want to get into Yonah right now. But he says that the Navi promises that a tefillah that comes from pain and a swooning of the soul will enter into the Heichal of Hashem. Yes?
I
want to read one more paragraph of the Rebbeinu
B'chaya.
One second. Let me make a bracha. Yeah. My tea was too long ago. I know, but I made a bar nefesh. I was realizing I might not choose. It was 40 minutes ago, and I made a bar nefesh. The bracha taught tonight. Elohim melech olam shal kol nehiya
b'tvar.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm just nervous because what you're saying could be very dangerous.
Okay.
When the people in the Holocaust cry out, and I mean millions of them crying, they did nothing wrong. They were amazing, crying out just from suffering, exactly like in Mitzrayim. They felt they weren't answered. So you can't just say crying out is a pure tefillah, Hashem will answer.
Wait, their tefillahs weren't answered.
One second. If you cry out from pain, Hashem is going to answer you.
Wait.
It is the purest kind of tefillah, yes. And Hashem heard them, yes.
One second.
But nevertheless, all these things
are Shehi Yoter Mikubalat, Mikubalas, Vihi Olafanavis Brach. How would you translate Mikubalas? Yoter Mikubalas.
I understand, but I'm still.
But one second, wait.
I love Hester Punin. And their tefillos were not answered.
Okay, so Avigal brings up a very important point.
It's not in Nenes. It's Mikubalas. Then they
accepted.
Okay, one second.
They were answered.
Okay, one second. A few points. Wait. A few points. Ladies, please. One second. Ladies, a few points. Number one, I'm going to go out of order a little bit. Avigail brings up a very important point. Ladies, one second. We'll take the comments after. Avigail brings up a very important point. During Hester Panim, the rules change. The Holocaust was clear at the time of Hester Panim. I gave an in-depth shiur once on Hester Panim. Might be on Wayu Torah. I'm looking at all the Mefarshim. It's the worst possible time. It's much worse than the Kolos. Actually, Shimshon Pinkas brings it down. There's a medrash that says the most difficult psukim for Hashem to write in the Torah, Kaviyachal, are Devarim Lamed Aleph Yod Zayin through Yerchas Vanochi Aster Aster Panai Mikem Bayam Ahu. In Hester Panim, everything changes. Eicha speaks about Hashem behind a cloud. Sakosa ba'anan me avar tefilalach. You are hidden in a cloud. Prayer cannot pass through.
So
that's one second. So that's first of all in a time of Hester Panim. One second, ladies. The rules change. Next, Shani brought up a very important point because I was in the middle of saying, how would you translate mikubalas?
I
said
men accepted.
One second. Shehi. Tefillah, she'ein tefillah socha adam shlema ka'oso shehu mitpalal mitochat sara vehadochak shehi yoter mikubalat, but is more accepted, like she said. It doesn't say answered. Shehat tefillah mitochat sara v'atifat ha'nefesh hi ha'nichnaset lefanav. It enters into the realm of Hashem's Heichal. It is accepted. I quoted this before. Rav Salvechik says, our tefillahs are always heard. They are not always answered in the way that we ask. There's no magic formula here. According to what you're saying, I know you know me like this, and I know you will understand that I'm saying this, then we should stop davening. I know you didn't mean that. Because so often we cry from pain, and our tefillahs are not answered. So in the right time, one second, in the right time, the tefillahs are answered. When the Hester Panim is over, when we have amassed enough prayer, we don't know which prayer tips the scale to bring the gula. We don't know which one of those cries leads to Moshe, the Redeemer, appears on the scene. Hayaro Eson Yisro Chosto. We don't know the cheshbonos and the machshavos and the calculations of the Ribono Shel. We have to worry about our job. He worries about his job. It's undeniable that a person in pain will scream out. Even if he's not trying to direct his prayer, he screams out. And you're right. There was a hellish time. It was a Gehenim. It was something we can't fathom.
And
It was a time of rochets bedamam. Hayashochetino kol Yisrael v'rochets bedamam. It was the same in pharaonic Egypt that it was in Germany. It was the same, and they did cry out. And many kadoshim were prayers were we don't know. They were thrown into the Kivshan Eish, and unlike Avraham Avinu, they did not come out of the Kivshan Eish. What did those tefillos do for the surviving Jews? What did those tefillos do for Eretz Yisrael? What did those tefillos do to build a Jewish homeland, which we have not seen since the Second Commonwealth was destroyed? The tefillos were used for something. We don't know. But to say their tefillos weren't answered becomes very dangerous. That becomes dangerous. Right. They were answered not at that time.
Okay. Because when you said Mekubal,
But also, Mekabel Mashu means to receive something. That's very important. Mekabel means to receive. It doesn't necessarily mean to acquiesce. In the right time, they were answered. So we can't say they weren't answered. In the right time, they were answered. What's the divine cheshbon? Who knows? 100% sakosa ba'anan me'avar tefilach. I give a whole in-depth shir and I researched all the sources. Not all, I shouldn't say that. I researched many, many sources to, I don't even want to say to the best of my ability, that I had on Hester Panim, the rules change. It's a terrible time. You should never know from such things. I need to finish the end of the Rabbeinu Bechaya. The Afshar Lomer ki haparsha zos hi remez l'gu'ulatenu. It is possible to say, when he says this parsha, he doesn't mean parsha, he means these psukim, where we see crying from avoda, which ascends to God, remez l'gu'ulatenu. It is an allusion to our redemption. Zos ha'asida, the future one. Shehi t'luya b'teshuva u'v'tefila. What is it dependent on? The future redemption. The Shuvah and Tefillah. The Afshal Omar, it's possible to say, Ki HaParsha Zos Hi Remez L'Gula Seinu Zos HaAsida Shi Tilue B'Teshuvah Tefillah Ki Kein B'Geula Mitzrayim Chazu B'Teshuvah V'Hit Paralu Al Hashem HaOna Be'itzar. Listen what he just said. In the time of Mitzrayim, in the time of the exile in Egypt, they did Teshuvah. They davened Hashem. So unlike the Ramban and the Arachayim, who says they're just screaming, the Rabbeinu Bechaya is actually saying they're davening to Hashem. They dive into Hashem, and you know what he calls Hashem? Ha'ona be'eis tzara. He's the one who answers in the time of pain. V'nitz kabla tfilasam uvalahem agol miyad. Their tfilas were accepted, and the goal came. But by the way, when he says miyad, they had been in Egypt for 210 years and slaves for 116. Somebody cried before this. So that means at the appropriate time, according to Hashem's cheshbonos, all the tefillos of 116 years were put together. And then the goel came, the al kein samach lo Moshe. And that's why the next word is Moshe. Lir Moz, ki bias ha-goel teluya b'teshuva u'tefila. To teach us that the coming of the Redeemer depends upon repentance and prayer. So it's a mussar for us. It's a mussar. He says it. He says our future redemption is going to come about through teshuvah and repentance. What about the generations who have been crying and the gula is not here? So we don't know. In the right time, it will come. We can't answer Hashem's cheshbonos. We have given an overview of spiritual growth. Why did we just do that, ladies? Because the last thing we read is there a time and a person is in pain, his whole being screams out. He pours out his heart before Hashem. That brings to mind the situation of Shiva Mitzrayim, and you brought up the Holocaust, certainly. We have given an overview of spiritual growth. It has been a brief discussion. It's fundamental. Any error in these details can generate inner confusion, chas v'sham, and distance a person from his true world. May Hashem assist us in making these ideas perfectly clear and accept it in your heart. Does anyone, I wanted to quote from Henny Machas. I'm definitely not starting the new chapter now because it's not fair. It's Tzadik Yupol Sheva V'Kam U'Rishoy Mikashu B'Ra'a. There is Shir next week. Does anyone have, what time is it? Okay, it's 9:19. My watch is slow. Does anyone have questions or comments? Okay, so I think it's appropriate to say, Yimai Hashem, Kol Mishal Asibenu Letova, and through that we should be Zocha to the Bias Gol Tzadek very soon. Amen, amen. Thank you.